And we're holding on page 112 in Brachos, six lines from the bottom. In other editions, it's towards the end of Os Ayin Tes, page 112 near the bottom, six lines from the in the middle of the paragraph. Piskei Rabbi Eliezer, Eimer. Page 112, Nun Vav Amud Beis. We were discussing, the Mishnah had said that Rabbi Eliezer had said, Ha'osei tefilasei keva in tefilasei tachanunim, that if a person makes his tefillah keva, some kind of fixed thing, then it's not tachanunim, it's not pleading to Hashem. So we discussed a couple of meanings, what that means so far. We had the first explanation meant that the person treats davening like a burden, I can't wait till I'm over and done with it. A second explanation is he doesn't say his davening beloshin, he doesn't say his shmona esrei beloshin tachanunim with wording or with a feeling of supplication that he's pleading with Hashem. Which we said yesterday, Tosfos says that actually that second opinion would say, even if he feels that it's a masri, as long as he's able to express himself in a way of tachnunim, then it's not so bad. Then we had a third explanation that it means somebody who's eni yochol l'chadish v'dabar, he's not able to have the kavana to be able to think of something new to add to his tefillah. He's just saying the exact same words yesterday as today as tomorrow. So now we have a fourth, definition of what Rabbi Eliezer means by ha'osa tefillah sekeva. Abaya bar oven and Rav Chiyo, Rav Chanina bar oven and Amit Abayu. Abaya bar oven and Rav Chiyo, Rav Chanina bar oven both say that the definition of kol of ha'osef filosei keva is kol she'en mispalal im dimdume chama. If a person doesn't daven Shemana Esrei at the time of dimdume chama, dimdume is meloshin odoim, so it means red. It means when you have a red, when you have the redness of the sunrise and of the sunset. So the way it should be. Rashi explains the way that Abaye ba'Oven and Rav Chanina ba'Oven are saying that a person should do is he should daven Shemana Esrei of Shachris right at Hanetzach Hama, which we learned earlier in the Masechta is what the Basikim do, and then he should daven Shemana Esrei of Mincha right as the sun is setting.
Also the
rise.
Dimdume is also the sunrise.
Dimdume, right. So it means both the sunrise and the sunset. Both of them, you have a red glow in the sky. In fact, you have an interesting Gemara in Baba Basra that says the deeper reason why. Now, if you ask a meteorologist, they'll tell you the reason why the sky is reddish in the morning and in the evening is because the sun is being refracted through the clouds and the atmosphere, and they'll give you a whole thing about that. Gemara in Baba Basra actually has an interesting thing that the deeper reason behind it is because in the morning, the sun is passing in front of Gan Eden, so it reflects off the roses of Gan Eden, and in the evening, it's passing in front of Gehenna, and so it reflects off the red fire of Gehenna. So now, in fact, Ben Yehoyada on our Gemara explains that that's the deeper significance of why these Chachamim want a person to daven im dimdume chama. It'll help him keep in mind Gan Eden and Gehenna and develop a greater Abba and a greater Yira to the Eidishtah that way. However, and in fact, the Gemara says, the Omer Abchiva Abba Omer Abyechanan, mitzvah is followed in dimdume chama. The best way is to daven Shemana Esrei at the time of dimdume chama. But Amar Rav Chiya or Rav Zera Maikra, Rav Chiya or Rav Zera says, where's a pasuk where we see that idea expressed? The pasuk says, Yira'ucha Yishamesh, the Jewish people will fear you, Hashem, with the sun, meaning as the sun is rising, and they're saying Shemana Esrei, V'lefnei Yareach, and before the moon, meaning as the moon is going to be rising, meaning at sunset, Dur Durim, for generations upon generations. So we see that it's a good thing to daven in Dim Durechama. And so again, Abaye ba'Oven and Rav Chiya or Rav Chanina ba'Oven are saying that is what Rabbi Eliezer is saying in our Mishnah, that a person should make every effort to daven Shemana Esrei at those times, otherwise he's oisat tefilase keva, otherwise he's making his tefillah too much of a fixed thing. So in other words, it actually says, the point is, when a person doesn't daven at those times, it shows he doesn't care to find the best eis rotzin, to find the best time when Hashem's favor is most evident, which would be at those times, and to daven Shemana Esrei then. However, the Gemara says, however, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they criticize people as far as Shachris, sure, by all means, daven Shachris and Hanetzach Hama, that's Vasikin, we learned earlier in the Masechta. However, when it comes to Mincha, they criticize people who do that and wait until Shkia to daven Mincha, my time at Dilma Mitra Fele Shaita, because an emergency might happen, and then he's going to end up missing the Zman altogether, so better Mincha, you should daven a little bit earlier, don't wait until the last possible moment. So one possibility is people upstate who are davening late. One possibility is they may be following Rabbeinu Tam's definition of Shkia. Keep in mind that Well, so here we're saying Jumin Chama, but the question is, what exactly is the definition of Shtia and what exactly is the definition of Tseis? If you look at the Alter Rebbe, Seder Achnasas Shabbos. So he spends most of it explaining what his Shitta is, as far as when Shtia is and when Tseis of the Chavim is. Then at the end, he mentions the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, which is that Shtia is much later than what we think of. It's even after what we consider Tseis of the Chavim. To oversimplify, Rabbeinu Tam considers Shkia to be when all of the sunlight has disappeared from the sky. And only after that do you begin Bein HaShemashos and eventually Tzeis HaKachav. So we consider it's even after we consider Tzeis HaKachav, it would still be, might not even be Rabbeinu Tam's Shkia yet. So you have actually, in Europe, actually, there were places where they actually began Shabbos that way also. Here in America, and in Eretz Yisrael, I've never heard of anybody doing that, but as far as the end of Shabbos, you have various kehillos, as we know of, that are machmir in that and keep Shabbos late. Maybe also, as far as mincha, maybe also they hold in the same vein, if they're holding like Rabbeinu Tam, so fine, as far as Shabbos, look, it's a great Shabbos, so they're not gonna play around with that, so then they're gonna follow the Alter Rebbe's shita to be on the safe side. But when it comes to davening mincha, they may well have, if they follow Rabbeinu Tam's opinion, they may well be davening mincha. Yeah, actually, you have over here. Come to think of it, yeah. Now that I think of it, I've been on Talul for the shuls where they do that, where they daven mincha extremely late. Yeah, because they are in fact following Rabbeinu Tam's shita. Yeah, that's one talking about mincha. Yeah. So that might well be why. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara goes on. The Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yeshua, Oimah Hamahalach B'Mokim Sakana. Rabbi Yeshua says that if a person is traveling through a dangerous area, so he doesn't have the option, so he doesn't have the ability to daven full Shemoneh Esrei, he doesn't even have the opportunity to daven Havineinu that we learned about yesterday, which is the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, then one short bracha that encapsulates the middle 13, and then the last three. He may be in a dangerous situation, he has to get out of there as fast as possible, and he can't even daven that. Therefore, Mispalot Tefila Ktsara. Instead, what he should do at a time like that is daven a very short tefillah. But Omer, the tefillah that he says, Rabbi Yeshua says, would be Hoisha Hashem as Amcha, Hashem save your people, as She'eris Yisrael, the remnant of the Jewish people, B'chol Parsha Se'ibur, in every Parsha of Ibur, which now the Gemara is going to define what that means, then he continues, Yitzorcheim Lefanecha, their needs should be before you, and he finishes off Baruchat Hashem Shemetzvah. So that would be the Tefillah Ketzara, Rabbi Yeshua says. Soon we're going to have in the Gemara different opinions about what the Tefillah Ketzara would be at that time. But this is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion in the Mishnah. So, my Parsha Se'ibur. What does Rabbi Yeshua mean by that phrase, B'chol Parsha Se'ibur? So, Amar Chista, Amar Ma'ufra, it means, Afila B'shah Sha'atim Mala U'mismala Aleim Evra, even when you, Hashem, are as full of anger against the Jewish people, ki'isha ubara, like a pregnant woman, yiyu kol tzorcheim lefanecha, even at a time like that, all the needs of the Jewish people should be before you. So meaning, in other words, that we're saying, parsha se'ibur, in effect means, any possible way that you could understand the word ibur, then please Hashem, no matter what kind of meaning we place on the word Ibur, whether we're talking Meloshin Evra, anger, or whether we're talking Meloshin Ubara, pregnant, either way, have Rachmanus and realize what the Jewish people need.
What's Isha
Ubara? Isha Ubara means a pregnant woman. So, well, first of all, I mean, on a simple level, yeah, and Isha Ubara is having a hard time of it, so she may be, but wait. So, in fact, Maushab brings from a medrash that you have a similar thing when it says, Vayis'aber Hashem bi, Hashem was angry at me, Moshe says, at the beginning of Parashas Vayeschanan, the medrash says, Ki'isho bar, yeah, because, you know, women, when they're pregnant, sometimes they have mood swings. So therefore, with that said, though, I mean, Eitz Yosef and Anaf Yosef they're both Pirushim from the same author. He has a long discussion about it. That it means, in other words, first of all, so we're talking about, in other words, the labor pains of a woman. We know that Chevle Mashiach in particular are compared to labor pains. That's the very word, Chevle Mashiach, means the birth pangs of Mashiach. So what happens is when we get close to the time of the Ketz, we have one thing coming right after another. So that's when, so the Tefillah is saying, even when it comes to that time of Ketz, when Hashem is angry and Hashem is expressing his anger by having us be in the situation of a pregnant woman, one pang, one pain after another, even at a time like that, Yitzorcheim Lefanecha, Hashem, please keep the needs of the Jewish people before you and have Rachmanus on you. So that's one thing. Then he goes on in Anaf Yosef to mention another point as well, that it means, so now, let's consider, when a woman is in labor, she's screaming out from the pain. Now, thinking about it rationally, after all, there's going to come a baby out of it. There's going to come a very great simcha out of it. Nevertheless, it doesn't change the fact that right now she's feeling tremendous pain. So therefore, we're saying to the Eibishter, yes, we understand that everything you're putting us through has a purpose, and eventually something tremendously good is going to come up out of it, all the way up to and including B'yas Mashiach Tzidkenu, Miyad Mamash. Nevertheless, right now we're in pain and we're screaming, Hashem, don't hold it against us that we're doing it. Realize that we are feeling the bad situation as much as a pregnant woman is, as much as a woman in labor is, and we don't know how long it's going to last. So that's all included in this B'chol Parashas Ha'ibur. Habona, at the bottom of the page, points out another point as well. When we say Yitzochem Lefanecha, it doesn't just mean that Hashem should have our needs in mind, in other words, and do whatever and accomplish for us whatever we need. It also means Hashem should keep in mind, even at such times, all of the things that are besetting us in Golos, as we had earlier in the Masechta. We have our inner Yitzhahara, we have the Shibud Golias on the outside. That's called Tzorchehem, everything that we have on needs that is causing us to go the wrong way. Hashem, please keep that in mind and have Rachmanis on us and realize that to a certain extent it's not our fault. So that's one meaning. Omar Rava or Ikadamri, Omar Rav Chista, Omar Ma'okva, Afilu B'Shar Shem Ovrim Avera or Al Divrei Torah. Another meaning of Parsha Se'ibur means even when the Jewish people are being over on Averas, even when they're transgressing. So in other words, we're saying over here, in other words, you think about it, the Shurdish Ayin Vez Reish has at least three different meanings. It could be related to the word Evra, which is anger, or Uber, Ubaro, which is pregnant, or Avera, as in to transgress what Hashem wants. So now, this other explanation is, even when the Jewish people are doing Averis, even at such times, our needs should be ever present to Hashem, that He should give us what we need, and as Abona is saying, that Hashem should also realize what kind of troubles are besetting us and causing us to do those Averis in the first place. Yeah. So this is in the Gemara, this is Daf Chavtes. Yeah. You can see at the top of the page it marks it. So the Gemara continues. Tonin Abaman, Hamahalach b'mokim gedudei chaya v'listim. If a person is traveling in an area where there are bands of wild animals or bands of robbers, so in other words, it's a dangerous area to pass through. So again, he doesn't have the time to daven Shemana Esrei in detail. Misfalot tefila k'tzara. So then, like the Mishnah had said, like Rabbi Yeshua said, he should daven a tefila k'tzara. The Ezer he tefila k'tzara. Now, what is that tefila k'tzara? Now, we're going to have several opinions in the Gemara over here. Most of them, Mephoshim, explain that these opinions that we're going to list over here, one after the other, are differing. They're arguing with Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua had given the one Nusach, Hosha Hashem Asamcha, and each of them is giving a different Nusach, and the Gemara is going to end up passing. The Tzlach actually learns not like that. The Tzlach, with no to be Horda, learns not like that. He says there's a difference between Mahalach B'mokim Sakona, which is what the Mishnah is talking about, versus Mahalach B'mokim Gdudei Chayiv Listim, and therefore, so he says, that Rabbi Yeshua's Hoysha Hashem's Amcha would be for one situation, and then the different opinions that we're going to have here in the Braisa are a different situation. That's not how it's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, though. In Shulchan Aruch, it's Paskin that, in fact, all of them are arguing, and the Gemara is going to end up saying Halacha Ka'acherim once we get to the end of the paragraph. By the way, in Shulchan Aruch, it explains that the difference is, if a person we talked about yesterday, davening Habineinu. Now, if a person does daven Habineinu, they were Yotzei Shemana Esrei with it. Even though you're supposed to, you're supposed to say all 19 brachas of Shemana Esrei, but in a case where a person is in a situation where he says Habineinu, then with that he's Yotzei Shemana Esrei. On the other hand, if a person is in a situation where the only thing he can say is the Tefillah Ktzara, whatever the Nusach is that we have over here in the Gemara, he's not Yotzei Shemana Esrei with it. Because even though he is asking in a general way that Hashem should do for us what we need, you don't have any of the specific things that there need to be in Shemana Esrei. There's no praise of Hashem at the beginning. There's no requests for what we need in the middle. There's no thanks to Hashem at the end. And therefore, the result would be once the person is out of that situation, if it's still within this mind of davening, then he has to actually daven a proper Shemana Esrei. And if not, then he has to make it up at the next Shemana Esrei as usual when a person missed the tefillah. So the Gemara continues. So what is the nusach of that tefillah tzara? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he should say as follows. Asay ritzoncha b'shamayim imal, Hashem, do your will in Shemayim up above. So in other words, Rashi explains, up above, in Shemayim, Malachim don't do any averus. So you're able to accomplish, we know Hashem's will is to do good, teva atoy v'hetiv. So up in Shemayim, you're able to do exactly what you want without anything interfering. So do that. And the same nachas ruach liyir echa mitachas, then below down over here, give those who fear Hashem nachas ruach, meaning that they shouldn't, Rashi says, so they don't get confused by the chayas and listim and the other dangers that we're talking about over here that you have on the road. And so Rashi explains, in other words, so asei ratzon cha b'shamayim mimal means in shamayim, you're able to do exactly what you want because you're able to do them toy. Meanwhile, to the tachtonim, have rachmanus on them because if you did exactly what you wanted, then we would never be able to manage. And then as far as the yirei shamayim, the people down here on earth, who fear Hashem, do give them nachas ruach, make it possible for them to be at ease when they're traveling through these dangerous places. And do what is good in your eyes. Which means, in other words, so Rashi refers to a pasuk in Shoftim, where the Jewish people use such an expression. There you have, the Jewish people have been guilty of serious averus, avodah zarah, another thing, and Hashem finally says to them, you know what, I give up on you. Go dive into the getchkes that you've been davening all this time to. I'm not helping you anymore. And the Jewish people say, no, at least save us from the goyim who are harassing us. In that case, it was Bnei Ammon. Then, Hashem, fine, do to us whatever you decide is right, but at least save us from these Ammonim. So in other words, here also we're saying, if it happens that we deserve something, fine, then Hashem will do what's right in his eyes, because he knows what's good for us and what's not. But at least do it in a way that we don't end up getting it through these listim and chayas ruach. Mamshah has a different explanation of the tefillah a little bit. He's saying the aseir tzayin chabashamayim mimal b'ten ruach b'tzayin nachas ruach liyirech mitachas is actually all one long statement. It's saying that you do as your gzera was in Shemayim, but make an exception for the yireecha. If it's a bad gzera, make an exception for them and make a nachas ruach for them, that this rotzen that you have, that you want to bring a certain thing on the world, make an exception for it, for yireecha. And then a person never knows what's really good for him. So we finish off, atoy b'enecha say, Hashem, you do what you know is really right for us. And you finish off, baruch atah Hashem shemeativa. Rabbi Yeshua says a different nusach. Now, in the Mishnah, we had a different nusach that Rabbi Yeshua says. We had the Hoysha Hashem Asamfa. So according to the Tzach, there's no contradiction, because the Mishnah is talking about one situation, and the Brais is talking about a different one. According to everybody else, you would have to say that there are two Tanoyim who disagree what Rabbi Yeshua's nusach of the Tfilat Tzara was. There are even Meforshim who say that maybe they don't even have Rabbi Yeshua's statement in the Brais at all, in the Girsa. Anyway, he says, Shema Shabbos Amcha Yisrael, listen to the cry of the people Yisrael, Va'asei Mehera Bakashosam, and do what they're requesting quickly. Baruch Ata Hashem Shemei Atzvilah, blessed are you Hashem who hears our prayer. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadik Omer, he says almost the exact same Nusach, but he says the second word is different. Shema Tzakas Amcha Yisrael, listen to the cry to the screams of your people Yisrael, v'asei meheir bakashasim, and do what they want quickly. Baruch Ata Hashem Shemei Atzvilah. So the only difference is between Tzaka and Shabbat. So Rashi says Shabbos Amcha Yisrael suggests more a lashon of groaning. Mavashah says you could say it either way. Rashi says that Shava is more intense than Tefillah. So maybe Rashi's girsay, in fact, was that Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek says Shema Tefillas Amcha Yisrael, and in that case it would mean Rabbi Yeshua's is more intense. But the other possibility is that maybe so Mavashah is not really sure which one is stronger, Sa'oka or Shava. In any case, each of them has their nusach. Acherim, and then the Acherim, which usually means Reb Meir, has yet another nusach. The needs of your people Yisrael are great, the daitam ktsara, and their understanding is short. So meaning, in other words, that we don't have the ability to express everything that we need from Hashem. Daitam ktsara can also mean that our das is short, in the sense that we don't have a long term view of that Hashem has to know what's good for us. Hashem knows, but we have a short das, and therefore we can't always see that when what the Eibishter is giving, we don't always see it as tov anir v'anigla. This is, by the way, the piyut that we have in Slichas and in Kippur davening, Tzorcha Merubim Tzorcha Amcha, the daitam ktsara comes from this tefillah. So we continue. Yirotzim l'fanach Hashem alekeinu, may it be your will, Hashem our God, shetitim l'chalach ha'vechem k'dei panasasai, that you should give each person what he needs for his panasa, for his sustenance, olcho griyo griya de machsera, and to every body you should give what it's lacking. Some nischois have, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, and you add the words v'atov v'enecha say, do what's good in your eyes, and you finish off, baruch atah Hashem shenayatim. So Amar Rav Huna, halacha ka'achirim, the halacha is like the achirim, that is the nusach to say when you're unable to daven Shemoneh Esrei, then you just say that, you say that tefillah. And again, if then you're out of a dangerous situation and you're able to daven a proper Shemoneh Esrei, then you still have to do that. Yeah, that's the point. In other words, so we're talking about a situation where you don't have time to stop and daven Shemoneh Esrei because it's a dangerous situation. So therefore, you say this, which encapsulates basically the idea that we're saying, that Maharsha says, in other words, by saying this tefillah, in effect you're saying, by rights I should be davening the entire 19 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, which lists out in detail all the things that I as an individual and we as the Jewish people collectively need, but Daitam Tzara, but our das is short, meaning that we're on the road and we don't have a full das. And therefore, we're saying in general, Yirotzim Mofanacha and the rest of it. Yeah. So since we're talking about dinim, about when a person is traveling, so that leads the Gemara to discuss a related point about Tefillah Sadech. Omalei Liyohu L'Rav Yehuda Achudir of Salah Hasidah. Eliyahu, Hanavi, the Bashas, told Rabbi Yehuda, the brother of Rabbi Salah Hasidah, so this is not the regular Rabbi Yehuda and Shas, this is a different one. Anyway, he tells him, Loi Tirtach, you should not get angry, but Loi Sechta, and thereby you won't come to Averis. So the person gets angry, it's easy for him to be led into other kinds of Averis. Marshal refers to something that the Gemara says in Nedarim, for example. I think we had it recently. I think that if a person gets angry, it was in Daf Yomi a few days ago, that when a person gets angry, even the Shechina means nothing to him. Because he thinks as Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, when a person is angry, he doesn't realize at that moment that Hashem is running the world and that whatever happened to him is because of that, and therefore, yeah. He says also, Loi sirvi v'loi sechta. Don't get drunk, and also you won't come to do Averis, because again, a person gets drunk, and it lowers their inhibitions and causes them to do all kinds of Averis. Ion Yaakov points out that, now you could have, there is a valid time for a Talmud Chacham to be angry. The Gemara elsewhere has an expression, Oraisahu tekom merat chalei, that when a Talmud Chacham gets angry, it's the Torah burning within him, the fire of Torah that's making him angry. So there is a time when it's appropriate to show anger. And the same thing, there is a time when it's appropriate to drink wine. So what Eliyahu is warning, is Rabbi Yehuda is to be careful of the kind of anger that leads to Averis, and of the kind of drunkenness that leads to Averis, not against anger per se or drunkenness per se, because each of those does have its place. And he continues, Ochsha'ata Yotzel Aderech, when you go out to travel on the road, he molech b'koin chavatzeh, take advice, take counsel or permission from your, Rashi defines it, Himalach as Torah L'shus, get permission, b'koincha, from your creator, but say, and then go on your trip. So the Gemara says, on that last one, my Himalach b'koincha, but say, what does that expression mean? Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Chista, zu tefillas haderech. So this refers to davening tefillas haderech before you leave on your trip. The point being, in other words, you're davening for Hashem to help you. How is that, Marsha explains like this. When a person is traveling on the road, there's who's going to tell him whether the trip itself is going to be safe and whether he's going to accomplish what he needs to. So he needs to daven to Hashem to help him out. And there's also the idea, Mephoshim explained, that when a person is davening Tfilos HaDerech, automatically it makes him think, or it should make him think, you know what? I can't very well ask for Hashem to make me successful if this trip is not in accordance with what Hashem wants. So therefore, that itself, the person davens Tfilos HaDerech, it makes them realize that they have to make sure that their trip is in consonance with what Hashem wants. So Omer of Yaakov, Omer of Chista, Zut Tfilos HaDerech. worth telling in this connection, actually, a story from a medrash about getting advice, about knowing whether you're going to have a safe trip before you go. A medrash tells a story that there was a fellow from the city of Botsra. He spent most of his life as a goy. Eventually, he became a ger. So now he thinks to himself, so he was a traveling salesman. He thinks to himself the next time after he becomes a ger, the next time he's going on a business trip, he thinks to himself, you know, every other time I would always go to my local goyish priest and ask them to ask the idol whether I'm going to be successful. Now I'm a yid. I'm not allowed to do that. There's no Urim V'Tumim. There's no Nevi'im. No nothing. Who am I going to get advice like that from? I'll have to trust in Hashem. So he goes. His first trip ever without getting such an oracle ahead of time. He comes to the city, and he finds that there are guards over there, and they have an altar there to offer a korban to the city god before you come in. So now he's really nervous. How's he going to sneak by over there? Is he good? He can't get involved with that. So he gets off his donkey. The pashtus figuring that he's going to sneak into the city, and the donkey runs off. The guards from a distance see a donkey running off and him on the floor. They jump to conclusions. He must have fallen off. So everybody runs over to help him and to catch the donkey and get him back on and so on and so forth. So nobody has the presence of mind to think, hey, you know what? There's this altar over here. You want to bring a curtain. So he gets into the city safely and is able to accomplish his business. So the Medrash says there's a perfect example of a person trusts in the Eivishter and the Eivishter that pays him back for his trust. So this is literally the Himalach B'Koin Chavatzei, that previously he would have always gone and asked for counsel. Am I going to be successful on this trip? This time he davens Tfilas Aderech and he trusts in the Eibishter and it worked out. So the Gemara says, V'Heichi Matzula. Now, in what position should a person daven Tfilas Aderech? Rav Chista Amam Umar. So Rav Chista says a person should daven stand to say it. Rav Shesha Samah Afil Mahalach. Rav Shesha says you can even be walking and say Tfilas Aderech. So the Gemara tells Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes havu ka'azli ba'urcha. One time Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes were traveling together on the road. Kom Rav Chista v'kamatzli. Then at some point Rav Chista got up and started davening. Omle Rav Sheshes l'shamei ma'ipa over Rav Chista. So Rav Sheshes asked his attendant, "What is Rav Chista doing?" Rav Sheshes was blind, so he couldn't see what Rav Chista was doing. So he has to ask. Omle koyu matzli. So he told him Rav Chista is standing up and davening. And Rav Sheshes obviously realized this is not one of the three daily tefillos, pashtus, because it wasn't the time for it. So he tells him, you know what, stand me up also, help me stand up, and I'll say tefillos aderech also. Even though I hold that we don't have to stand, that you're allowed to say it while you're walking or traveling or whatever, once Rav Chista is standing anyway and I have to wait for him, then I might as well stand as well, because mi yos toiv al tikri ra.
It means standing or it means not walking?
So it means stand, but Bapashas, it means standing, but,
he was in the bus and the
so,
street,
yeah.
But it could be that you could sit also.
Could be that you could sit also, right. Right. I mean, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that ideally you should stand, but if you can't, then, yeah. So anyway, mi yos tov al tikri ra. If you're able to do good, then don't do bad. It's a paraphrase. The Gemara explains elsewhere in Baba Kama that this is a paraphrase of a Pasuk in Mishlei. The exact words themselves are not in Tanakh, but it's a paraphrase of a Pasuk in Mishlei, where the point is if you have the opportunity to do something good, don't dare to do different. So in this case, Rav Sheshes is saying, granted, I hold that you're allowed to be walking or moving or whatever while you're doing it, but as long as we have to stop anyway, then I might as well do like Rav Chista is doing. So the Maisa, the Halacha, as brought in Shulchan Aruch, is ideally you should do like Rav Chista and stop and stand. If you can't, for example, you're in a hurry, then you can follow Rav Sheshes and be sitting or traveling or whatever while you say Tfilas Aderech. In connection with Tfilas Aderech, by the way, I once read a cute story. I think it was in one of Chanuch Teller's books. He tells where one time there was a younger man in Eretz Yisrael who was traveling in a taxi, and he was saying Tfilas Aderech. So the taxi driver was a yid, not yet frum. And after he says, he's saying Tfilas Aderech, Satzilenu, Mekaftal Oyev, Va'orev, Velistim, Mechayas Rois. So the taxi driver starts laughing, Chayas Rois. You don't find those on the road nowadays. The younger man didn't say anything. A couple of minutes later, this big fly flies in through the window and is getting all over the place and getting in the driver's way and almost causing him to screw off the road. And finally, the guy has to get out to the side of the road and shoo it out. He gets back in. He says to the younger man, "I see what you're talking about." So yeah.
That's even today.
That's the point. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. So now the Gemara goes on to talk about the end of the Perek. The last Mishnah of the Perek talks about the dinim of davening Shemini Esrei when you're traveling. So the Mishnah mentions that you're supposed to get, you're supposed to get off your donkey or whatever it is you're riding on, the daven Shemini Esrei. But if you can't, then at least you can be sitting to daven Shemini Esrei, but at least you have to be facing facing Yerushalayim, and if you don't know what direction that is, then you just have kavanah towards it. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, and Suma, we learn in a Braisa that a blind person, Umisha en yochel l'chavenes arufos, or a person who's not able to tell which way is which, yichaven l'mikeneged obu shavashmayim. So you should have kavana that he's davening towards Hashem. In other words, so he does, he's not able to figure out what direction to daven towards, but he should have in mind that whatever direction he's davening in, it's towards Hashem. As you have in Shlomo HaMelech's Tefillah by the Chanukas HaBayis of the first Beis Hamikdash, he says they will daven towards Hashem, their God. Now you have actually this and the following and the following couple of psukim that the Gemara is going to quote are actually the Gemara goes on to quote not here in Ein Yaakov, we don't have all of it. The Gemara Ein Yaakov left out some of it, but the Gemara goes on to explain how depending where you are in the world, you should have kavana. So we'll have the first part. The person is standing outside Eretz Yisrael. You have in the connected Eretz Yisrael. He has in mind that he's facing towards Eretz Yisrael. Because Shlomo says in the same tefillah, they'll daven to you towards their land. And the Gemara goes on to mention, if a person is in Eretz Yisrael, he should be facing towards Yerushalayim. If he's in Yerushalayim, he should be facing towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, he should be facing towards the Oren, and so forth. So Marsha explains, for each one of them, the Gemara brings, well, not for each one of them, for most of them, the Gemara brings Psukim, and Marsha explains, so all of those Psukim are from Shlomo's Tefillah, and Shlomo himself is going in to details over there. So first he mentions that Jewish people all over Eretz Yisrael should daven towards Yerushalayim. Then he says, suppose a Yid has been taken captive by Goyim and is outside Eretz Yisrael, then be spalur alecha derech aretzam, and so forth. So we see that already Shlomo is telling us this idea that everybody should be davening towards the same spot. So it comes out the entire Jewish people are all machaven their hearts and as much as possible their position towards one place, towards the Beis Hamikdash. Where's a pasuk where we see that point expressed that it's important to face Yerushalayim when you daven? In Shir Hashirim, it talks about the Beis Hamikdash. K'migdal David Savorich, your neck is like the Tower of David. Bonu l'talpias. It's built for talpias. Now talpias means tel shakol or shakol pias ponim bo. Tel means a mountain. Shakol pias, that all the mouths of the Jewish people ponim bo are all turning towards it. So that's talpias. So we see that the Beis Hamikdash is supposed to be the place where everybody faces towards it when they're down. Marsha points out that you have various places where the Beis Hamikdash is compared to the neck. We find, for example, when Yosef and Binyamin met, after Yosef revealed who he is, and Rashi explains over there from the Gemara and Megillah that it means that they were each crying about each other's Bate Mikdash. So we see that this Mikdash is compared to the neck. One idea, as it talks about in many places in Chassidus, and in Sforim earlier than that also, the idea being, just like you have the moichin in the head, and you have the midos that are primarily in the body, and you have to have something that connects them, and that something is the neck. The same way, the Beis Hamikdash connects Elikus up there with us Nivroim down here, and therefore it's compared in that sense to a neck. The Gemara finishes off, Kama Yishe Ben Tefillah L'Tefillah. Now, suppose a person is davening two Shemini Esrei back to back. So Rashi gives an example that you could have a person made a mistake. A person forgot Yalav Yavo, a person forgot whatever it is that he needs, and therefore he needs to daven again. Or another example would be he davened Shacharis, and now he's going to daven Musaf. Kama Yishe Ben Tefillah L'Tefillah. How long does he have to wait between one tefillah, between one Shemini Esrei and the next? So the Gemara says, Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. Rav Huna and Rav Chista have different opinions how much it should be. One says that it has to be long enough for him to have a thought of tischoin, that he should be able to. We said before that you have to daven b'loshim tchina, that you have to daven to Hashem in a way where you're pleading with Hashem to do whatever it is you're asking. So therefore, that a person should be able to be in that frame of mind to be able to ask Hashem in a way of pleading. The other one, between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, uses the expression which is Meloshin Chiloi, Meloshin Vayichal Moshe, as the Gemara is going to say, that it means that he has the ability to, again, to Chiloi, to plead with Hashem. So Rashi explains there's no real nafkamina between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda's versions. They're just there. Each one has their own Loshin of how to express this, of how to express this point. So where does each one get it from? Manda Omakadesh Tischoinen Daita Olav, the one who says that Tischoinen Dichtiv Voschanen al Hashem, we see that the Pasuk uses the expression, Moshe says, Voschanen, I pleaded with Hashem, so therefore that's the frame of mind to be in for Shemin Esrei. Or Manda Omakadesh Tischoinen Daita Olav, Dichtiv Vayichal Moshe, we find the same Shodesh used when Moshe is pleading for the Jewish people after the Chet Egel. So now, according to Rashi, then, it comes out then, that it's the same thing. Yad Yosef brings over here from the Oruch a different explanation. What it is when a person is davening, when a person is davening by the Omer, so naturally he's going to be kind of afraid of the tzibur. Now when he's going to daven, then he loses that stage fright. So then one opinion is he needs enough time to be able to lose that sense of stage fright in front of the tzibur and be able to have a feeling of rascham. The second one is that he feels that he has the ability to plead with Hashem to forgive him for what he did wrong. Now that would be, the Oruch says, that would be longer than the first one. Voschanan could imply you're davening to Hashem in order to get something. Moshe is davening to Hashem, voschanan, because he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael, he wants to receive a reward. As opposed to tischoilel by Yichal Moshe is when he's asking Hashem to forgive, in that case it was the Jewish people, for a regular person it's for himself, what he did wrong, he needs to be more in a contrite frame of mind for that, and therefore the Oruch says that takes longer. So it comes out, according to the Aruch, that Tischoilel is longer than Tischoin. With that said, the Lahalocha is brought more like Rashi says, and the definition is given that it's enough time to walk 4 amps, as there is the minimum time you need between one tefillah and the next. Abayna over here points out, So for example, on Shabbos, I mean, practically speaking, of course, we have much more than 4 amos between one Shemana Esrei and the next. But let's say, so you actually have, when it comes to having 2 Shemana Esreis back to back, we always have something between them. That is why, by the way, on Yom Kippur, why did we move Ashrei and Uvolot Tzion to Ne'ilah instead of having them before Mincha as usual? The reason is because otherwise we really wouldn't have anything between Shemana Esrei of Mincha and Shemana Esrei of Ne'ilah. Because Aleinu was only added to the Tfilas later on. So therefore, you'd finish Shemana Esrei of Mincha, and you'd right away be going into Shemana Esrei of Ne'ilah, so therefore they moved Ashrei of Olatzi into there. Meanwhile, between Musaf and Mincha, first of all, I mean, on Mincha, because you have a break anyway, but even if you don't have a break, you have Kriyas HaTorah in between them, that's enough of a break anyhow. So this kind of thing about davening back-to-back would be, for example, again, if a person made a mistake in Shemana Esrei, and he has to daven again, he has to wait a minimum of the time it takes to walk 4 amos, that's considered to be enough time that to schoinen daiter olav, and then he can daven the next Shemana Esrei. Habboina at the bottom of the page points out another point also. When it says by Chal Moshe, that Moshe pleaded with Hashem to forgive the Jewish people for the Chet Ego, one meaning of Vaychal, besides its Meloshin Chilui, Meloshin petitioning, it's also related, there's a Medrash he brings, that relates it to an Aramaic word for sweet. The Aramaic word for sweet is the Aramaic Shurdish for it, rather, is Ches Lamed. The Gemara has, for example, someplace, Chulia means sweet foods. So therefore, so what it means is, in other words, so what happened? Hashem was, so to speak, bitter towards the Jewish people. He had made a shvur to destroy them, and Moshe was able to sweeten it and to be matzah that net. So he says, similar to the Aruch, that Tischoilel is longer than Tischoinen, but he takes a different view of it. Tischoinen would just be enough time, again, that a person can express himself in a way of chanina, in a way of pleading with Hashem. Tischoilel would be the amount of time that it takes to actually make it that your tefillah should have the ability, so to speak, to sweeten Hashem's zeis, which would be longer. Again, Ma'alacha, though, it just says in Shulchan Aruch that 4 amos is enough. Yom Yom Mashiach Ugo'ola, Zayin Cheshvan. The Rebbe talked about that in our generation, you have the fullness of your Futsa, Ma'inasecha Futsa, in all corners of the world. if it was that way in Tavshin and Aleph, how much more it is now when we have, 16 times as many shluchim as there were then or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, and in a way that's moven in a person, in a way that's understandable in a person's seichel, even people who are in the chutzah shein chutzah imenu, in the uttermost faraway places, even Pnimiyas HaTorah has been translated into various languages. For example, around that time, Tanya was translated into Russian, in a way that Moshe Fahulach Bar, and the Rebbe talked about in particular, just recently, the Rebbe said the Sicha at the end of Nun Aleph, just recently, the Tanya, the Torah Shebachsav, the Siddur, had been printed in Braille for blind people. So that was an extra step that Rebbe was pointing out, and I thought to Samayana Skotza, yeah. Halachas, we're continuing with the halachas of mezonos food. So we started talking about yesterday that, for example, if you have fireful together with vegetables, then, so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you would make a separate bracha on each one. The Alter Rebbe says you would just say mezonos on it. Now, that would be if the pieces are separate. If everything got mixed and if everything got mashed and mixed together, then even if the flour is the muat, but it is from Chameshus Minei Dogon, therefore it's important, and you would say Mizonis and Alamichya on it. The Alter Rebbe actually says that Yesh Omrim, that you'd only say Alamichya only if it's Kezayis Bechdei Achilas Pras, which would be, in other words, that according to that, it would come out that the flour has to consist of 12 or 13% of the mixture in order for it to be considered that. So therefore, so better to eat something else that's for sure Alamichya and something else that's for sure Bona Farshus, and then you're covered for an after bracha either way, says the Alter Rebbe. Now he continues this din about if you have a food that's made with flour and other ingredients that the bracha is mezonos is only if you put in the flour in order to give it a flavor. Sometimes you just put in flour into something just in order to help stick it together. Or for example, he gives examples over here where you have mandelbrot or whatever, where you just put in a little bit of flour in order to stick it together. Then the flour is bottle, and then you only make a bracha on the ether. The Alter Rebbe actually says differently. If you're intending to eat the mezonos part as well, then you would say mezonos regardless. So it comes out, for example, let's say according to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, if you have, for example, a pie where you only have a very thin crust that's just basically meant to hold it together, then according to him, you would just say a bracha on the filling, not on the crust. Whereas it comes out, apparently, according to the Alter Rebbe, you'd actually make a bracha on the crust as well, because the fact is you do have in mind to eat.
If it
sounds like the Alter Rebbe is saying even if the crust is not important. On the other hand, for example, they talk about well, yeah, but okay, you could still eat the filling. But for example, I'm not so sure about that 100% though, because for example, they talk about with ice cream, when you're eating ice cream in a cone, so they actually draw a distinction between whether it's a sugar cone versus a regular cone. A regular cone is just there to keep the ice cream from getting all over the place, so it would be tuffle, as opposed to a sugar cone, you actually want the flavor of it, so then it would be a mezonos. So even when you're eating. What? So a regular cone, that's what I'm saying. Before I think all Rabbanim have said is not, because it's just bottles of ice cream. So that being the case, then maybe it's not always the case that maybe it's not a blanket thing that always when you're eating the mezonos, it's going to be mezonos. It may depend on how toffle it is. Anyway, he goes on to say by the same token, when you have, for example, sometimes you put in some flour into sauce in order to thicken it. So you would only say, shahakol on the sauce. On the other hand, if you have, for example, that you take out pieces of bread and eat them by themselves that were in the croutons or whatever, then you would in fact make mezonos on them. And if you have a kezias of them, you would say alamit. The bottom line is things of brachas are one of the more complicated areas in halacha. They say, that there are some rabbanim who, when people would come to them for smicha tests, they would bring them out a bowl of fruit or something and see if they know the dinim of the brachas on it. Because yeah. Tanana Menachashem, Matzah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zachas, Zohar.